If you would take your Bibles to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter number 3. After all those songs, I want to preach on heaven. I enjoyed that. That's good. The more I take a look at this crazy world, look forward to getting home. You know what I mean? It's a wonderful thing. Well, it's good to be here again this evening. Good to be back with everybody. I'm looking forward to Empowered Youth. They gave me the calm, serious job for Empowered Youth. I get to help with the game. So that's, you know, it's my duty to make sure it's as clear and easy to understand as possible, because the Empowered Youth game is always simple. And so I'm looking forward to that. Got to preach in the junior church today. That was fun. I missed out on some other fun that was going on out behind the doors there, but that's the real fun. But I missed out on that. There weren't any police in my fun. But anyway, we had a good day. It's fun. It's fun to watch the buses roll in. It's fun to watch all those kids in here. And, you know, sometimes they're going to get in trouble and they cause headaches, but boy, when they get saved, they start coming faithful, makes it all worth it, doesn't it? That is exciting. Got to be in TNT a little bit yesterday and see several kids staying faithful, and that's just exciting. And to see all of you staying faithful, working at it, and the fact that you let me come back, I think that's wonderful. I know you're saying we didn't have anything to do with it. They did not call a church vote on that one, Fast Parish, but no, but it is fun to be back and feel welcome. Sometimes when I leave a church, it's not the way it is when I go back, if I get to go back. So anyway, it's exciting to see all of you, and appreciate all y'all always done for our family. We're looking forward to a good week, praying for God to work. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 4, but we're going to start in Jonah chapter 3. I've only got one sermon tonight. I really do. I thought about trying to get all of Jonah chapter 4, but these two, that just, it'd take way too long. But we got to get the context, Jonah chapter 3, and Caleb Stockman told me that he's got an alarm that's going to go off at 7, namely Austin. But anyway, so I gotta be, I gotta make sure that I'm done on time. So, hey, for once that clock is slower than mine. I like it. We're going with that one. All right, Jonah chapter 3. Let's begin in verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? Wouldn't that be exciting to see in the United States of America? Wouldn't it be exciting just to see it in one town? An awakening like this, amazing. Should be exciting, right? Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Not only exciting that they were awakened and that they repented and they asked God to forgive them, but God did. And in his mercy, he spared them. That should be exciting. And that's a preacher's dream. I mean, to have one person walk the aisle, that's always exciting. If you got more than one person in the church, too. You have 5 or 10, that's really exciting. But everybody? How fun would that be? Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Did Jonah just see what we just read about? And that was his response. Jonah's a fascinating book. I love looking at the book of Jonah. A while back in Idaho, before I came here, I preached through it. It was one of the most fun times I had preaching. I really enjoyed the series. But I came to this passage and it shocks you. It stops you in your tracks and you're going, what in the world happened? Tonight I want to talk about this topic, and I'd ask you to just ask the Lord, is this me? The title of the message is this, The Beginnings of Bitterness. The Beginnings of Bitterness. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask God to work in our hearts tonight. Our God, we're thankful for what you have done. Thank you for each person that came today here. I'm thankful for those that came in Missouri in our church. Lord, for the folks that you're beginning to work in there, that they were there today. God, I thank you for that. That's your miracle working, and I praise you for it. I thank you for each one that came here. I thank you for decisions that were made. I thank you for the faithfulness of your servants all across this campus this morning, preaching your word, teaching Bible stories, and helping children and adults alike to understand a wonderful God that we have. Thank you for the songs we've been able to sing and worship you tonight. Now, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open and ready. God, this is a message that we may not be there, but Lord, it's so easy for us to get into this position. I pray that, God, we would hear it as a warning. But Lord, probably there are some that need to hear it and be convicted that this is them. And others perhaps are already deep into bitterness, and they need to see what caused it. And they need to root it out and get rid of it. Lord, I don't know what it is you want to do, but I do know you want to work. And I do know, Lord, you put this message upon my heart. So, God, I pray you'd speak through me. I pray I wouldn't be in the way. We'd know your presence tonight. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So we leave an incredible awakening in chapter 3, a time that should have been a time of great rejoicing for Jonah, but instead, we find Jonah in what I call the beginnings of bitterness. Bitterness is a dangerous thing. In fact, as a preacher, it's one of those really hard topics to preach on, because most of the time, the people that are struggling with bitterness never think they're bitter. And you try to say, you don't understand, you're getting very bitter. And they're like, no, I'm not. No. I know so-and-so, they're really bitter. Man, this message is for them. And so if the minute I uttered the words bitterness, if you immediately sat there and thought, boy, I know so-and-so really needs this, you better be careful, because it could. Now, you may know somebody that needs it, but you better be careful and make sure that you're not at that point where you're saying, I'm not bitter. I've had the chance in my ministry working with a lot of folks. I worked in nursing home ministry for a lot of years. I love working in nursing homes. It's fun. You never know what they're going to say. It's great. Especially if you go to the Alzheimer's unit. You never know what's going to be said there. That's not why I enjoy the ministry, but it is fun. I'm just saying. But boy, it's exciting to talk with folks. But boy, I've talked with folks in nursing homes, man, a lot of them. And they are so mad at people from something that happened 50 years ago. I mean, that person may even be dead. And they're still bitter at them. I've talked with folks even recently, and they finally got conviction, and they knew that they needed to get it right, and they went to look for that person. They found out the person had died about a year before, and then they're broken going, I wanted to apologize, and now I can't. Bitterness just destroys people. I've seen bitterness get a hold of people, and all you've got to do is mention one name, and man, they just... In fact, I saw a teenage boy use it to his advantage once. He came home late. He was supposed to get home at a different time. And he got in trouble from his dad. And his dad was getting on to him. And the teenage boy just sat there looking at him. He said, by the way, I ran into brother so-and-so. He goes, rawr, rawr, rawr. And next thing you know, his dad was so caught up in bitterness. And the boy knew that. That the dad totally forgot that he was getting on to the teenager. And the teenager got off scot-free. He was slick at using it. Teens, do not try this at home. Parents, be careful. But seriously, he used it, and the point is, it was that easy. But young people, it's not reserved for adults. Actually, the worst time of my life in bitterness for 2 years as a teenager, I was bitter at someone. And you said that person's name, and man, I was that way. And, you know, I was a young preacher boy, so therefore mine was justified. And I had several scriptures to back up. Absolutely every reason I had a right to be bitter. And I mean, it was good scripture, too, just for the record. I had a good case. You need to understand that. That's what bitter people do, if you guys didn't catch the joke. But I was wrong. I was bitter. And God had to break me and get a hold of my heart. But tonight I'm not talking about bitterness. Tonight I'm talking about what starts it. And the truth is, many times when I preach about bitterness, I may not be able to get through to the person who is bitter. But tonight, could I say, there may be some of you that are in the beginnings of bitterness. You're right there at the beginning and you don't even know that you have turned your feet down that path and that's where you're headed. And what I want you to understand tonight, I want you to see it. I want you to spot it. I want you to diagnose it. I want you to get rid of it so you don't go down that path. This is what we find in Jonah. Bitterness usually is rooted in dissatisfaction with something that has happened in our lives, which, if we believe the Bible, ultimately means that we're dissatisfied with God because He allowed that to happen. And when that dissatisfaction gets into us, it's hard to get over. As I was studying the book of Jonah for the series I was preaching, I couldn't understand, okay, I get Jonah chapter 1. I understand that. I understand his rebellion. I understand his running. I'm not saying it was good, but I get it. But chapter 2, he seems to really, really repent. He seems to get things out. There's a genuine repentance there, and apparently it was genuine because God forgave him. God spared him. God gave him a second chance. God had the fish spit him up, and he got out on the ground, and he goes back, and he preaches, and a revival happens, and you think, Jonah's learned his lesson. Now revivals happen. This is great. The book should end with an exciting ending. But it doesn't. He gets upset again. And I wrestled as I was reading through it and studying it. I'm going, how does this happen? Now, this is my take on it. I believe it's right. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it. But I'm just saying you could disagree. But this is my take on it. I think Jonah in chapter 2 genuinely repented of his rebellion. His rebellion was, I don't want to do what you told me to do, God. I believe that Jonah genuinely repented of that rebellion and said, I will go and do what you told me to do, God. But here's what I think didn't happen. But I don't think Jonah ever surrendered to, God, I accept this as your will, and it's a good thing. And when I thought about that, I began to think of a lot of people that I've talked to and dealt with. And I began to think of a lot of teens that they get in trouble, they get right, but they still aren't surrendered. And then they get out of the house, and sometimes they leave. Because they've not surrendered to God's will. And then they get on the internet, and they then begin to blast those who are serving God and those who are doing right for God. And I've seen a lot of church members do the same thing. Hey, I'm in Bible Belt country. You knock on a door, out of every 10 doors, probably 9 of them are Baptists. That's totally different from Idaho. When I was in Idaho, I go and I say, we're from the Baptist church downtown. I say, we're from the Baptist church. They say, which one? There's like 40. We got like 4 or 5 General Baptists, 4 or 5 Southern Baptists, and then there's Free Will Baptists, and then there's another Independent Baptist, kind of. And then there's all these different ones, and there's all these Baptist churches and all this kind of stuff. And I knock on a lot of these doors, and they're all that, but they don't necessarily go, and I run into the used to's. Used to teach a Sunday school class, used to go to church, used to ride the bus, used to work in the bus ministry, used to sing in the choir, used to be a deacon. My dad used to be a preacher. My mom used to be a preacher. Those aren't usually the Baptist ones. But there's all of those. I used to. What happened? Somewhere along the line, they got bitter. They got angry at God because they would not surrender to God's will. Let's take a look at the foundations of bitterness here in verse number 1. And to understand that, all of it comes down to one simple 2-letter word in chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says that second word, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. You say, what was the it? Verse number 10 of chapter 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Here's what has happened. The foundations of bitterness start in this very thing. God's will versus my will. And we have got to learn that whatever our will is, we need to submit that to whatever God's will is. But when my will is in conflict with God's will, and I refuse to like or accept what God's will is, very soon I will become displeased. Very soon I will become angry. Very soon I will become bitter because I don't like what God has decided is right. Well, guess what? If you could borrow a little Missouri English for a second, you ain't God. You don't have a right to make that call. Sometimes in trying to tell folks about Jesus, they say, well, you know what? I know different people have different ways of getting saved, but I've kind of come up with my own way, and I just think God's going to accept that. Hey, that would be wonderful if you were God and you got to decide how people got saved, but you're not. It's the nature of God being, I don't know, God. It's who he is. But our society has gotten so filled with humanism, where we believe we can achieve anything and everything if we just work at it hard enough and we can get ourselves to all these different points, that we come to a point when we come face to face with God's will, and it's not what we want, and we think, well, I know maybe God's not, that's not exactly what He wants, but I think He'll be okay with it if I do it this way, and we start to sound like King Saul. Look, the people spared the best of them, but it was so they could sacrifice. It's okay because I'm doing it for a good cause. Listen, my friend, if it's not God's will, that doesn't mean it's a good cause. God's will is God's will. Now let me stop for a second and say this. Sometimes when we talk about God's will, we're thinking about young people and we're thinking about their career and who they're going to marry and whether they're called to preach and all that kind of stuff. Let me just back it up and talk to what I'm saying about God's will. You know what God's will is? Everything in His Word. Every commandment, He didn't write any commandments because He wanted to give us some suggestions or because He needed to come up with rules because that's what God's do. No, every commandment is exactly the way God wants everything to run. If the whole world would obey every command of God, the whole world would run according to God's will. So when we come face to face with the Word of God, you are coming face to face with the will of God, and it is not your choice to find the loophole or the way around it. It is your job to obey it, and hear me, it really is your job to submit to it and like it. Because it's God's will. A lot of us like the last part of Psalm 37:4. Where He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And we're like, oh yeah, I love that part. The desires of thine heart. That's a wonderful phrase. You're missing the first part. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Here's what God is saying. If you'll love the things that I love, I'll give you whatever you want. You know why? Because if we love the things that God wants, then we want the things that God wants. And if we want the things that God wants, then we want God's will, and God will give it to us. You want to know how to be happy? Just always want everything that God wants. And it'll be a fun life. But our will begins to go up against Him. Jonah did not like God's will. He didn't like God's merciful decision. For whatever reason, and I know the commentators and everybody, we even had notes in college deciding, these are the possibilities on why Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. And you can choose whichever one you want. Let me just give you the fact. For whatever reason, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. It was plain and simple. Maybe he was patriotic. Maybe he was racist. Maybe, you know, everybody's racist these days. I mean, why not? So join in, Jonah. But who knows? But all I know is this. He was mad. He didn't like the Ninevites. And for whatever reason, he had decided they did not deserve mercy. Former pastor in our church there in Missouri, he's got a unique ministry, and it's kind of hard to explain, but he's a missionary. He's kind of a missionary to missionaries, but he's also got a burden to stir up a burden for people groups that aren't really talked about. It's unreached people groups and not just countries. But among these are a number of Muslims. And for whatever reason, God has given him a huge burden and a huge love for Muslim people. He finds out there's a Muslim somewhere, he wants to go talk to him. I find out there's a Muslim somewhere, I won't say what I'm looking for, but I'm going, man, I want to make sure I'm safe here, okay? And I'm not saying that's the right attitude. I'm just saying that's the American attitude. And I may just have stepped on a couple toes right there. And so he'll go into churches sometimes and he'll preach about how Muslims need God. And he said he's had members of Bible-believing independent Baptist churches get up and walk out because they're so angry about him saying Muslims need God. Folks, if there is any people group that you don't think needs God, I'm not going to say you're racist. I'm going to say you're backslidden. Because I'm sorry, God loved you and God loves them. Boy, we're divided in our nation. Every group. And it's geared, the news tries to do it, and there's all this stuff. Everybody is hating each other. But you know what? If we just learn to love people the way that God loves them, it'd solve all the problems. But for whatever reason, Noah did not like the Ninevites. Not Noah. I don't know about Noah. But Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like the way God thought about him. He didn't like God's attitude. He did not like God's change in judgment and God's change in punishment. But that was God's will. It's what he chose to do. Here was Noah's will. I come to say that all day, aren't I? This is a great way to start a week. Jonah's will. From now on, Noah equals Jonah. All right, we got that taken care of. Good. Look at chapter 4 again, verse number 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah, I said it right this time, exceedingly. What did? God's will. God's will displeased Jonah. He started with his displeasure, and it wasn't mild displeasure, it was exceeding. God's will did not meet with the approval of Jonah's will. And so he started out unhappy. Folks, you say, what is the first step towards bitterness, Pastor Parrish? This right here. Whatever is God's will, you don't like it. Now, that goes against the grain for me a little bit. There's a part of me that says, and probably has preached, and teenagers maybe even has preached to you, that says, look, I don't care if you like God's will or not, you just need to do it. And it's true, we do, because it's God's will, it's what God wants, and we should do it. But let's be honest, doing God's will and not liking God's will, very soon we will become displeased with God's will. And very soon, if we become displeased with God's will, then we are going to grumble and we are going to complain and we are going to find fault and we're going to have problem after problem after problem. And folks, you never stop in displeasure. You always take the next step, and that is into anger. Notice it said that Jonah was to displease Jonah greatly, and he was, I'm not looking at it, but I think it says very angry. He was angry. He was very angry. I was right. Jonah moved from displeasure with God to complete anger. He, in other words, was angry at what God thought was best. And before long, we don't have time to get into verses 4 through 11, but before long, we see Jonah's displeasure, Jonah's anger, Jonah's bitterness, and Jonah's stubbornness about his bitterness. Have you ever noticed the way the book of Jonah ends? Look at verse 11. God is speaking to Jonah and he says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? That's it. Stops. Say, what did Jonah do with that? I have no idea. My point is this. I think Jonah was so wrapped up in his bitterness, we don't hear of Jonah again. Whole book of the Bible about his life story. And the ending is God saying, isn't it right that I do this? And that's it. Nothing else. Say, Pastor Parrish, did Jonah get right? I don't know. I don't know. Kind of leaves me wondering, if he had, don't you think God would have told us? Now, I don't know that. That's what I kind of think, but I don't know that. Here's what I do know. He was so wrapped up in it that the book is ending with God mad at him. Because that's where he got. You know, there's a reason the Bible says, when it talks about bitterness, it talks about the root of bitterness. It's because it grows down deep inside of us and it gets a foothold. And man, that thing is hard to yank out. And the longer you go letting it grow and fester and make you displeased and make you angry. And let's be honest, somebody in here could be bitter tonight or could have that growing inside of them and nobody even know it yet. But down inside of that person or that event or something that happened in your life, something that God has done, some way God, people get bitter sometimes because God blesses somebody else. And whatever reason it is, you know what it might be, but it's down in there and you feel justified and you feel like you have a right. But what you do not realize is the foundation of bitterness is being laid. The root has gotten hold and you are displeased and you are angry and you will soon get bitter and then you will get stubborn over your bitterness. And who knows where it's going to end after that. I want you to also notice then, secondly, the focus of Jonah's bitterness. Look at verses 2 and 3, if you would. We're going to mainly focus on verse 2. We see Jonah's self-absorption. Count them with me. I want you to count the personal pronouns. Anytime he says, I, me, or my, I want you to notice it with me here. So let's start here. Verse number 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. 2 verses. 10 times, Jonah talks about who? Jonah. You want a good hint at where you're at in your bitterness? You are totally obsessed with yourself. You don't understand. I may not. And let me just say, let me pause here for a moment in case this is going through anybody's mind. You say, yeah, but Jonah was bitter about something good. But Pastor Paris, you don't understand. What happened to me was not good. I accept that. I accept that. I've talked with a lot of people that have gone through things that sometimes I just go, I don't know how I get through that. But did God die? Or is he still in charge? And whether it was a good thing that you're mad at or it was a bad thing that happened to you that mad at, and I'm not saying, you understand, God's will is that everybody follow God's will, but God's will was also to give us the opportunity to choose. That means everybody has the opportunity to make choices. And people don't always make the right choices, and because they make the wrong choices, those wrong choices hurt us. So I'm not saying that it's God's will that the bad thing happened to you, but I'm saying that God allows people to make choices, and sometimes those bad choices hurt and affect you. But if you listen to me, if you'll bring that hurt and that, it's not going to help you to build up a bunch of bitterness over that hurt. It's just going to get worse. The best thing to do is to take that hurt and bring it to God and say, God, do you know what happened? And let God be your comforter. Let God be the person that is there, that is kind and loving to you. And listen, my friend, we just sang about it. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. He says a peace that passeth all understanding. You can't get that by hanging on to the bitterness, but you can get that through the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And God can take whatever hurt you in your life that is causing that bitterness, and he can change it around and turn it into a good thing, and then take you and let you help out somebody else who's going through that, and God can turn it into something wonderful because that's who God is. But you can't hang on to the bitterness. It's destroying you. And you, whether you want to admit it or not, you are angry at God. You've got to give it up. And whether you want to admit it or not, and I'm not being crude and I'm not being unfeeling, but if you're hanging on to that bitterness, you're completely focused on yourself. Even if all of us might say you're justified in it, you're still focused on you. whoa, hold on, Pastor Parrish, that sounds mean. I'm not being mean, but I'm not going to do you any good unless I'm honest. We got to turn our focus off of ourselves and onto God. Whatever's causing the bitterness, it causes us to focus on ourselves. Do you notice Jonah does not here say, Lord, I thought you were going to destroy Nineveh. Why did you change your mind? Folks, if God seems to change his mind, I don't think it's wrong to ask him why, as long as your why is, Lord, could you explain why? Instead of, how come you did that? You just need to accept that God may not give you the answer. The answer just might be, this is my will. You just need to accept it. Jonah was only concerned with what he thought about everything that had happened. He had decided in his mind that was the wrong course. He was only concerned with how it affected him. I was in a church early on in my ministry, and there was a situation that happened in the church. It was not a good situation. It was a bad situation. Happened with a young lady who was a teenage girl. And it was bad. And there was hurt. But there happened to be a teenage boy who liked that teenage girl. Now, again, I'm trying to avoid giving any details here. But he liked that teenage girl, yet he had absolutely nothing to do with anything that had just happened. And when all of these things were going on and being dealt with, and I would say in a biblical manner in the church, and as it was going on, that boy got up and walked out. Now that was sad and stupid and selfish of him, but could I say what was worse than that was mom and dad did too. And it was a small church. It just shocked our church. The church was hurting. The pastor was hurting. The families involved were hurting. And all this selfish, arrogant, punk 16-year-old boy could see was he was the victim because he liked this girl. And so therefore, he was the one hurting. And everybody in the church should be worrying about him. I kid you not. His mom and dad said the exact same thing. They're like, well, you just don't understand. I don't think you have compassion. He is the victim. And they left the church over that. How arrogant, selfish, and stupid can you be over a dumb little piece of puppy love that you're going to get over when you're 16? Sorry, teenagers, if I just blew that for you, but I got news for you. You're in love at 16. It probably ain't going to last. But you don't understand. Yeah, I do. You're young and stupid. Get over it. Just getting ready for the week. Sorry, adults. I'll get back to church here. But Jonah was totally wrapped up in his understanding of everything. It's almost like he says, I'm the victim in this situation. I knew you'd do something to make me look bad. I knew, God, that you would do things your own way. Duh. He's God. So again, notice what he says. The Bible says, verse number 2, something interesting. And he prayed unto the Lord. So this was Jonah's prayer. Okay, now read it with me here. And said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my same when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Does that look like a normal prayer that we read in the Bible? Was that, Lord, could you please do something? Lord, could you please explain something? Lord, I have a need. Lord, I have a burden. Lord, I want to praise you. Lord, I'm being persecuted. None of those things. What was it? It's a statement. God, I'm going to pray to you, but while I'm praying, let me tell you what I really think about this. I don't appreciate this. It was a chance for Jonah to correct God. Now, while I'm being sarcastic and I'm being cruel, I'm going to just be honest and admit something. I've kind of done that before. Have you? Well, maybe you're better than me. Okay. Lord, I don't understand why this is going on. And Lord, I thought such and such was going to happen. And Lord, I thought sure this was the way it was going to be. And I thought this and I thought that. And I thought this and I thought that. And I sometimes wonder if the Lord looks down at my little pity party and goes, was there a question in there somewhere? Or did you just want to come and complain to me? Sometimes I'm all caught up in what I think should happen and what I think I should be able to do. And that's not the way I'm supposed to handle it. It was Jonah getting his opinion in on it. And we see his complaint against God's call. And notice what he says. I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew what you were going to do. Lord, I don't appreciate what you've done because I knew all along what you were going to do. And I think I know better what you should do. In fact, could I point out, notice what he says. He said, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. Do you realize what he just said? He just said, God, you remember when you got onto me and you sent me in the belly of that fish? Because I was running from you, I would just like to point out, the reason I ran was because I knew you were going to do this. Let me make it simpler. God, it's your fault I ran. Well, look at it. Is that not what it says? God, it's your fault I'm backslidden. And there we are. When we get in the throes of bitterness and we get caught up in that, before long, we're so caught up in ourselves, there's nobody left to blame, so we got to turn it on God. If God hadn't let such and such happen in my life, I wouldn't be here. If God hadn't let such and such happen, I wouldn't have said that. If God hadn't allowed such and such to happen, I wouldn't have done that. It's His fault that I'm here. No. No, it's your fault. Because you didn't accept his plan. Fact is, Jonah didn't want any part of God's plan of mercy. And when God chose, he was okay with God's plan of judgment, but he wasn't okay with God's plan of mercy. He disapproved of it. He excused his rebellion and blamed it on God's mercy. And could I point out, Jonah was very clear to say that he did not approve of God's very character. Read again with me. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I thought that was a good thing. Man, when I read that in the Psalms, that's a song of praise. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. When I am extolling those attributes and thinking about myself, I got news for you. That's a really good thing. Lord, I'm so glad you're merciful. Lord, I'm so glad you're gracious. Lord, I'm so glad you're slow to anger, man. If I were God, I'd kill me right now. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative. God, how come you're doing that to them? You're supposed to be merciful to me. And gracious, but why are you doing that to them? Jonah, what makes the Ninevites not worthy of the same grace and mercy that you got? You're bitter at somebody, and God blesses them. Things go good for them. And you get mad. You get angry. I don't understand why God's blessing them. Well, because He's God. And He has that right. And just because you have in your great and intellectual wisdom established in your mind everything about that person, you don't know them as good as God does. Should I say that again? You don't know them as good as God does. You ever been wrong about somebody? No, Pastor Barris, never. Liar. We've all been wrong about people. I remember a couple times I called a teenager in my office. Something was going on in the youth group. Man, I thought I had it figured out. I laid into them just like I did. And they began to tell me such and such. And I'm like, really? Oh. And I realized I had the whole thing wrong. Okay, teenagers, last time you're ever going to hear me admit it. So did you hear that part? I did something wrong, okay? I've been wrong before. Not very often. But no. But I was wrong. Why? I don't know everything, and neither do you. But God does. God does. Then we see the foolishness of his bitterness. This is the one that amazes me, verse number 3. What's that first word there in verse 3? What is it? Therefore. What's the therefore? Well, verse 2. Therefore I fled before thee, before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Seriously, if this was a young person talking to me, I'd be going, do you think that's a little too much drama? Really? You want to die because I saved a few hundred thousand people. Really? That's your request? Because I'm merciful and I'm gracious and I'm slow to anger, you want to die. Real. Folks, bitterness makes us stupid. It just does. And it twists our mind up. And we will make foolish statements that we never would have made before. If anybody else would have made them, we would have laughed in their face. And we will make those foolish statements, and then we will stake our lives on that statement and believing it is true to the death. And bitterness has warped and messed up our mind and gotten us to the point where we truly believe that. Because God did things differently than Jonah thought they should be done, he wanted to die. Because God was different than Jonah thought he should be, he wanted to die. Could I say that it shows two foolish philosophies right here? He has a foolish philosophy of life, and he has a foolish philosophy of death. His philosophy of life is basically this: I only want to live with things going my way. The only good life is one that fulfills my desires. Have you seen the suicide rate in our country? Especially in people from ages 14 to 24. We are raising a selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed, self-indulgent society as we try to build up their self-esteem. And they are killing themselves because they can't handle life. Someone didn't like me on Facebook. Not the teenagers. I've lost. I don't even know what they're on anymore. WhatsApp or whatever it might be. Snapchat. Instagram. Somebody didn't like me on such and such. My friends didn't approve of this. I just dealt with this recently in my church. With a young lady. And I just sat there and I listened to her just spout all of this stuff. And you know what it was all about? It was all about her. And basically, her philosophy of life was, as long as everything goes my way, it's great. Well, you know what? I've got a daughter. She's cute as can be. And she is so selfish. 15 months old. We've taught her to do the sign language for please. Well, that automatically means that when she says that, she's supposed to get it in her mind. And then we don't. And then it's, And that's when Daddy says, I need to go to the church and work, honey. Take care of that, will you? There's more truth in that than I like to admit, but it's true. I can't handle that screaming. Oh, girls scream. Boys, the boys were brats, but that high-pitched screaming is just, ugh, drives me nuts. Again, she's cute. She's a wonderful girl when she's good. But you know what? When they're 15 months old, I kind of expect that. When we're 50, it's just sad. Or anywhere in between 15 months and however old you may be. We're babies. When our philosophy is, listen, if you want that philosophy of life, you need to stop breathing, not die, go create your own planet and be God there for a little while. Which means you got to switch religions to one out in Utah. But anyway. But until then, you're never going to be God. So life is never going to go all the way your way. So just get over it already. And realize you need to accept what God says. He had a foolish philosophy of life, but he also had a foolish philosophy of death. Here's what he basically said. Death is better than living in a world where God is merciful to those I don't think he should be merciful to. Death is better than a world where things are done God's way. And to me, this statement summarizes it all. I'd rather die in my will than live in God's will. That's what Jonah said. Because this is your mercy and because you've changed all these things, take my life from me. And it is better. That's what he said. It is better for me to die than to live. Why would you believe that, Jonah? Because my way is always better than God's. He said, Pastor Parrish, you're just like destroying Jonah here. That's what he said. I'd rather die in my will than live in God's will. How much more selfish can I get? You see, it all comes right back to this. God had a plan. God had a will. God had a way that he wants things done. Jonah didn't like it. Jonah didn't want to accept it. And Jonah was not happy if that's the way it was going to be. So what was the answer? Jonah was not happy. Because it's going to go God's way. The sooner you and I accept that, the better it is for us. Bitterness comes from not being surrendered to God's will. So my question tonight may not be, are you bitter? Maybe the question you need to ask yourself is this, am I surrendered to God's will? Because
with Jonah, there was a whole city waiting on him to do what God wanted. And maybe there is a group of people that God wants to use you or me to reach, but His will can't be done because we're not surrendered to it. You say, well, God will find somebody else. Perhaps He will. But could I say, we've been talking about this. I know several churches right now that need pastors. I got to believe that God wants to fill those churches with some pastors. But where are the people surrendering to go? I think about the Mwales that got saved a little over a year ago. What if it was Marvin, right? Knocked on their door. What if he hadn't? Praise God. He did what God wanted. I brought a man from Zambia over here to get saved. Folks, you understand when God works, He works in ways that are providential and miraculous beyond our conception. Why in the world would you let your little bitterness get in the way of Him doing something that's beyond what you and I can see Him putting into place? He's a magnificent God. Yes, He's gracious. Yes, He's merciful. Yes, He's slow to anger. Praise God for it. That's why He hasn't zapped you yet. Are you surrendered to His will? How about a teenager? Well, I wish I wasn't in this church. I wish I wasn't in this family. I wish I didn't have this mom and dad. I wish I didn't have this circumstance. I wish I didn't have these family, these friends. Get over yourself. There's no mistake in what God has put you in. And you can thrive and you can do some great things for God if you'll surrender to that. Adult, I don't know what circumstances may happen. Maybe there's something that you've never even told anybody. It goes way back many years. And God just pricked you tonight and said, you've never given that up. It may have been bad. It may have been harmful. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm not downplaying what may have happened, but I'm telling you, if you'll turn it over to God, His peace and His grace is way better than the harmfulness of your bitterness.